I want to introduce myself. I'm Cicely Brown, and I've been attending New City Church for the past 6 years. And if you don't know me, I went to Azusa Pacific Seminary for a seminary with Myra and Rachel. And I also went to Charles Drew University for urban public health. But with that said, I just want to share, for those of you who do not know who I am, I want to just give you a brief snippet. I'm multicultural. My family is very diverse. We have folks that are Sikh in our family. We have folks that are African American, Filipino. We're just very mixed. So I just want to give you that context as we grow and learn into this scripture. And I want to embarrass a few people too. My sister drove all the way from Fresno to come be with us. So she couldn't even do it via Zoom. She had to drive all the way over here yesterday. So thank you. And my Aunt Sylvia, she's here. She connects me to my dad. And Richard, you know I couldn't go without embarrassing you. I want to announce that we had our 10-year anniversary this past week. So congratulations. That's a 10-year anniversary married, but there's 17 years of reconciliation, prayer, loving, forgiveness, and Jesus. So I just want to put that out there. So good morning, and thank y'all for joining today. This morning, I'll be speaking on the parable of the workers in the vineyard. We'll delve into the essence of grace, generosity, and compassion. The parables, as Dr. Yafet Day, she shared with me, parables tell us about the kingdom of Jesus and Jesus inaugurating what is to come. They are stories meant to shock us, although some of us, you know, we've been through a lot. We're not very shocked. So when we delve into this today, just hold your own lens. And let's just go straight into scripture before I pray again. Matthew 20, it's in the New Testament, first book. I always wanted to do that because, you know, they tell you, like, where it's at. So here it is. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When he went out, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Then when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but because of them, they also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." He replied to one of them, "Friends, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose to do with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again here this morning. May your word ring strong and true. May it penetrate our hearts, our minds, our soul. May you deliver what you need to deliver to us this morning. Father God, you know what we all come here with, the baggage that we have, the sin, the hurt, the health that we're trying to overcome. Father God, speak to us and may your word be in life. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's happening in this scripture is the landowner gets up early in the morning, goes out, needs folks to till the vineyard, right? So 6 o'clock in the morning, goes out to a group of people in the marketplace, and that group of people, they're able to negotiate a fee, a fair fee, a denarius. A denarius is something that they could live on and be sustained for the day. This would pay for what their family needs, their food, where they're living, but it's just for one day. So they negotiate this contract out, and they go out to the field and start working at 6 in the morning. The landowner then again goes out at 9 o'clock and sees more folks in the marketplace. At that time, he's like, "Why are you standing here?" And they reply, "No one has hired us." So he lets them know, go out into the fields and you'll get something that is worth your time, right? Doesn't say one denarius. Then again at 12, at 3, this happens again. Does the same thing that he does for those that he hired at 9 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, something strange happens. There's still people standing in the marketplace. None of the other landowners had picked on this group of people. And this landowner turns back around. "Why are you still here?" They reply, "Because nobody hired us." The landowner says, "Go to the field and work." No negotiations. The landowner is not saying, "I'm going to even pay you." But the landowner is saying, "Go out there and work." So at the end of the day, this landowner flips the script and lets the manager know, pay the last first and the first last. All the manager does is pay them all one denarius from last to first. So that first group of people that was hired complains and grumbles about this last group of people that was hired. Did they complain about the 9 o'clock workers? Did they complain about the 12 o'clock workers? The 3 o'clock? No, they only complain about this last group of workers. So the landowner lets them know, "Friends, let me do with what is mine. I've given something just. The first will be last, and the last will be first." So we have some different characters here, right? We have the landowner. We have the early morning hires, the 9 o'clock, the noon o'clock, the 3 o'clock, the 5 o'clock workers, and the manager. Everyone here plays a different role. Some people are ready to go early in the morning. Maybe they're built a little different. Maybe they're a little taller. Maybe they're a little stronger. Maybe they're busted and break down before they were able to get to the marketplace. Maybe they own a car. We don't know. We do know, but in my mind. But we don't know what these environmental factors and environmental triggers are as to why all of these folks could not make it to the marketplace at the same time or were not seen at the same time. I mean, I feel for them because when I was an undergraduate at UCLA, I used to give English classes at IDEPSCA. And the day laborers or jornaleros, they would come every Saturday at 8 or 9 in the morning and take these English classes from us. But at the time, folks would come by in their trucks, come by in their vans, and whenever one of the managers would come out to hire folks, all of the day laborers would leave us. They would run with all their might, run and see if they would be hired that day. And were they all hired? No. It depended on who they wanted to hire that day, who had the skill that they needed. So it could be one Saturday they may not have gotten paid, but maybe the next Saturday after that. So I feel for this last group, the one that was not chosen. And thinking about all of these characters, just sit on it. Who do you resonate with in this story? Are you the landowner? Are you the first group to be hired, the middle group to be hired, the last group to be hired, the manager? See, it depends on your cultural and physical context, where you stand, what you've had to deal with, and who you can relate to. And like I said, I resonate with the 5 o'clock hires. I remember 10 years ago, I had applied for work, and prior to that 10 years, I was receiving WIC. I was in low-income housing, and I didn't share that with a lot of people, but you know what? At that time, I knew that it was time to shift what I was doing through God's grace, not my own thinking, because all I know I needed to do was take care of Elijah. But during that time, I had got a job interview, and I did not even care how much they paid me. I was just so happy to be hired, and that's all I cared. So I didn't even have that negotiation. I just signed it and didn't look, and I was just ready to go. And so are there times in your life where you're that 5 o'clock hire, where you're not even negotiating what you're going to do next? Another time is, what is Jesus telling us? So in this parable, we're thinking about who the first hires are. Why do they feel that they deserve more? I could easily walk around at my job today and say, hey, I have more life experience than you. I understand how to do X, Y, and Z. But can I go there? Can I be humbled and say those things? In order to be first, we have to be last. So we need to live in that spirit of humility. So what is Jesus telling me about the essence of this parable? About the last will be first and the first will be last. There is grace, there is generosity, and there is compassion for us all. What does this mean for you in your context? Where is the grace? Where is the generosity? And where is the compassion for us all? Jesus' justice is more than we can imagine. And in preparing for this sermon, I found myself praying and crying and praying and crying and not knowing what I was praying or crying about. And as I stand here today, I realize God's been so gracious. God has so much compassion on all of us sitting here. I mean, some of us may, our families may have thought that maybe we shouldn't even be here today, right? And yet God's grace, love, and compassion is going on and on and on. There's this woman in Oklahoma, Alicia Nelson. I received an email from Sean King about the situation and how he believes that we're here to be there for the widows and the orphans. So Alicia Nelson of Oklahoma, she's in a care home today. But she sent out a GoFundMe requesting funds so that her funeral and burial and all of that stuff could be paid for before she passed away. She has four kids, four young kids. And she cannot be that first group of workers. She cannot get out of hospice care. She has fought cancer and fought cancer as far as she can fight cancer. And now she's relented and gone to hospice care. She requested $15,000 to pay for these fees. And as I was making my notes for today's sermon, I saw that she had already got $40,000. Then, 45 minutes after talking to my sister, it was at $140,000. Before I got here this morning, it was at $339,000. She asked for $15,000, but because of the grace, the compassion of believers and non-believers alike to help her children, isn't God good? Yeah. And let's talk more about who this 5 o'clock worker could also be. I know someone here has a conviction on their record. I know someone is probably not supposed to be employed or be employable or even be trusted. And yet, maybe you're sitting here with a job. Maybe someone had that grace, that love, that compassion to say, hey, I see something in you. Let's not do this background check, and let's hire you. So there's that grace, that love, that compassion for the 5 o'clock worker. Someone might be sitting in those shoes right now. Someone else may be thinking about immigration. I don't have those documents to do what I've been called to do. But again, maybe someone said, hey, I'm going to bypass that. I'm not going to look at that when I'm looking at your application or your resume. It's that grace, that compassion of others that help you live your best life. And then speaking of myself again, I've been fully dependent on others. I've needed government assistance in order to survive. And maybe you too are sitting here, dependent on the government to survive. Not because you're unable to, because from the outside in, but because there may be a health issue, there may be something else going on that you're unable to do things on your own. That's the 5 group of workers. We have to have that love, that grace, that compassion from our government as well. And if it's not there, let's pray it in. So I want to also share that since beginning my volunteer experience with IDEPSCA, their hiring process has shifted. Remember when I was telling you when I was there, the men would run to the gate to see who would be hired first. There was a shift in this volunteer service where they had the men write their names or the women who were the domestic workers so that they could be hired as a first come, first serve. Not who ran there first, not who the person hiring them is saying, I only want you because I've been working with you. But so it could be a little more egalitarian. Now, isn't that a little bit more like Jesus? Having that grace and the compassion so that someone doesn't have to go without eating day in and day out. And I just also want to share, 10 years ago, I told you I didn't even care what money I made. Since then, I've had a little bit more courage, and I was able to negotiate a little bit more. So I do want to share that is good news. Like, even if we are that 5 o'clock worker, what can God do? Don't limit yourself to what that grace and compassion could be. And I'm reminded of something that my mom shared with me. She shared this with me maybe a week or two before she passed away. But she worked because others were not able to work. And although the scripture is about work, it doesn't have to be about work. Someone may go love on others because you're unable to leave your bed. Or someone may be able to go serve in places across the world because you're unable to fly out. What is that? What is that stirring in your heart that you know that you want to do or someone could do it in your stead? So I just want you to think about a few of those things right now. In the silence, how has God extended grace? How has God extended generosity? How has God extended compassion? And going back to the parable, God's grace is more than what we could imagine. Do you really think that first group deserved that wage? Or even the second or third or last group? None of us deserve this wage. All of us are so undeserving. All of us have pitfalls. All of us have sins. All of us have a past. I'm sure you can Google a few of us in here, right? So-and-so was arrested here. So-and-so was doing this there, right? All they have to do is put our names in there. I heard a good amen over here. But we can't work ourselves out of the mess that we've called or gotten ourselves into. We're human. It's Jesus. It's by Jesus' grace, Jesus' love, Jesus' compassion that we could have a clean slate in order to work jobs that do these background checks, right? It's only by God's grace that some of us were able to find homes. It's by God's grace that we all sit here this morning. We don't segregate ourselves from others. We love on one each other, irregardless of sexual identity, gender identity, social economic status. We got that big mix in here. It's really nice. So it's God's grace that we stand here today and sit here and love on one another. You know what? How many of us woke up and said, hey, I'm gonna go hang out with some folks from the other side of town that I never lived on? No. Maybe have wanted to just stay where you live and not where the others live. So I praise God and thank him for that. I'm gonna say it again, grace, generosity, and compassion for us all. And thinking about how much grace has been extended on you, what can you do to extend that grace upon others? Where's your call of action this morning? Is it in New City Church? Is it outside of New City Church? Is it working with the law, the legislature? Is it sharing your lunch or your meal with someone else? It doesn't matter how big or how small God has called you to do something. It's that you hear that calling, you do that action. I mean, what stands in my head is faith without works is dead. We don't even have to do those works, right? Because you're saved. But it's there. If you have that feeling in your heart, you know what you're called to do. And so, as I end, I just want to ask, should you be seeking discernment in the area that you're called to? I urge you to request prayer from the prayer team. There's an awesome prayer team that will help you discern your next steps. There's also an upcoming Informing Justice Ministry. And you can ask that group of women and say, hey, how can I extend God's love, God's mercy, and compassion on those around me. Let us pray. Most merciful God, just thank you for your love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding us this morning and every morning into your house. Thank you for allowing us to make church a church that's not in four walls, but that we could extend that church in our homes, in our communities, at our workplace, on the bus, in our walks. God, touch us and mold us and create in us a new heart. Make us who you want us to be. Humble us for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.